Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God that engages us this morning is from the Old Testament lesson just read, but specifically Isaiah 9 verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. This is our text. You may be seated. Experts call this the season of SAD. You know what that stands for, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. It means with all of the darkness, people's emotional levels turn to depression and sadness because there's not enough light. And you see, when there's not enough light, there's no energy, there's no movement, there's no life. It's sad also in another way as well. Welcome back to Concordia Seminary. Experts call this darkness the post-holiday blue syndrome. Presents are possessions, parties are past, purchases are causing a plethora of financial problems. Gone, at least from my home, are the cacophony of voices. Thank you so much. It just fits. You shouldn't have. You see, creating an artificial light cost us over $270 billion on toys and trinkets and trees and turkey and tinsel and travel and I'm sure a little Tylenol. And now, no more chestnuts roasting on the open fire. No more dreams of white Christmases. No more red-nosed reindeer. Size 40 has been exchanged for size 45. Eggnog is on sale for half price. And your brother-in-law ate the last piece of pecan pie. We are a people walking in darkness, living in the land of the shadow of death. So also was the depressing dirge of the northern Israelite tribe Zebulun and Naphtali. In two successive campaigns, the great Assyrian king, Tiglath-Pileser III, in 734 and then again in 732, not only gained victory over Zebulun and Naphtali, but renamed and reconquered and retransformed their lands. Tiglath-Pileser III gave them new names, Assyrian provincial names, Galaru, Dulru, Megiddo. Zebulun and Naphtali not only lost the battle, they had lost their identity, their purpose. They'd lost their tribal connections with the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, sad is a cataclysmic understatement. For Zebulun and Naphtali, no more lights. And no light means, well, it means there's no energy, there's no movement, there's no life. In my younger days, I was an unabashed fan of the Lone Ranger. Countless times I would turn on our old black and white to KWGN. That's Channel 2 in Denver, Colorado. For nowhere in those sterling pages of yesteryear can one find a greater champion of justice. Turn with me again to those thrilling days when out of the past come those thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver, for the Lone Ranger rides again. But it would always amaze me, having watched 3 million of these episodes, that every time you could count on it, set your watch by it, 29 minutes and 30 seconds into the half-hour program, someone would inevitably ask the question, who was that masked man? Here's someone who had been inches from total annihilation, who had been in prison without a pistol or certainly in a pinch, and the Lone Ranger had come and saved them, delivered them, rescued them right in front of their faces, and they missed it. Zebulun and Naphtali had been called out of Egypt. They'd been fed and nourished for the journey. They'd been given their tribal inheritance. Yahweh their God had risen up mighty prophets for them. Elijah, Elisha, Amos, Hosea. Countless times they cried out. And Yahweh delivered them, saved them, rescued them. Right in front of their faces. And they missed it. The result? The Assyrian rod, the rod of Yahweh's anger, came. And that's the night the lights went out in Zebulun and Naphtali. You and I, we too have been rescued in the baptismal flood, called out of Egypt. We too are fed and nourished for the journey in Eucharistic body and blood. We, you and I, have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven. You and I have the words of the prophets made more certain. Countless times in my life, yours as well, we've cried out. And our God in Jesus Christ has saved us, delivered us, rescued us right in front of our faces. And we miss it. Why? John 3:19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Loving the darkness of our own self-centered narcissism. Living in the darkness of our own lies and half-truths, longing for the darkness that feeds our flesh. The prince of darkness mocks our feeble discipleship, our failed relationships, our fatal attractions. But from the text, Isaiah 9:1-2. Nevertheless, Isaiah writes, key in the Hebrew, not any ordinary key, but a concessive key. Nevertheless, however, in spite of, but there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. In the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles, by the way of the sea, along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. No ordinary key and no ordinary lights. Or gadol, a great light. The first lights to illuminate Zebulun and Naphtali, we just sang about it, was Gideon. It's in the text. On the day of Midian. Well, on the day of Midian, Gideon made mincemeat out of Midian. How? Judges 7:20. Grasping torches, light at night, in their left hand, and grasping trumpets in their right hands, that they were to blow, they shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Soon after our text, another brilliant, dazzling light would shine on this land of Zebulun and Naphtali, led by King Josiah, burning with the light of a newfound Torah, a lamp to his feet, a light to his path. He marched north, didn't he? To reclaim these tribes, renew their worship, reform their faith. But you know as well as I do that the most awesome light show was saved for last. Luke writes of this occurrence at night. the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Simeon celebrates a light to lighten Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And just on Saturday, we will hear the wise men marvel. We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Dazzling lights, brilliant lights. So much so that Isaiah says, to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called. What awesome names. Pele Yotze, El Gabor, Av Yahad, Sar, Shalom. Majesty in the midst of the mundane. Holiness in the filth of manure. Divinity entering our world. Imagine that, our world. Through the womb of a teenager. On the floor of a stable. In the presence of a bewildered carpenter. Jesus is this light who took on flesh so he could take you into his arms, heal your hurts, forgive your filth, destroy your darkness. Jesus is this light who took on flesh not to demonstrate the cuteness or the sweetness of infancy, but in order to live the life we could not, and die our death so we need not. No wonder they said at Nicaea of this Jesus the Nazarene, Deo de Deo, Lumen de Lumine. But with Gideon, the light burned out, didn't it? The apostasy of Baal worship, the anarchy of his son Abimelech, no light there, not long lasting. And Josiah? Why, Josiah, he was burned out as well in his premature death at the Battle of Megiddo. Would this light burn out? Would this light cease to shine? Would the final battle between light and darkness, the betrayal, the bloodshed, the bitter gall, the burial, would that be the final curtain call? You know the answer to that. Never. This is a great light. John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The empty tomb means that this light will never be burned out. Isaiah 9:7 of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. An endless light, an endless alleluia. It means the old adage, all good things must come to an end, is simply baloney. Art Holst, a veteran NFL referee, tells the story about Fred Arbanis, who used to play tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. Arbanis was hit so hard on one play that his artificial eye popped out. They called a timeout, searched for the eye, found it. He plugged it back in, declined a substitution, and was ready to go. Holst walked up to Arbanis and said, Fred, I'm impressed. But what would you have done if you'd lost the other eye? That's easy, snapped Arbanis. I'd become a referee. Referees aren't the only ones, are they, that live in the dark? Sad lasts for more than a season. Nevertheless, in spite of all that, but hear the word of the Lord. Again from Isaiah, This time, the 60th chapter, the first verse. What a verse! Hear it, believe it, receive it. Arise, shine. Your light has come. Don't miss it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.